Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
During this transition, we've had different speakers, and as Galen and Brian and I were working on this back in June, we said in August, let's bring some former staff people back and preach, hear them. And so last week we had Todd in and he spoke, and this week we have Jaron in, and next week we have Scott Sherwood. And so these are good days to hear from some people who are ours, one of us, and from a different time. Jaron and Starla were here in the 80s and early 90s, and were on staff and served in key role then. And after they left here, went pastored Shawnee Church in Kansas for quite a few years, and then was elected district superintendent, and then later was elected president of Nazarene Theological Seminary. And so lots of roles, educator, pastor, leader, denominational leader. But if you know Jaron, you know that he's a pastor at heart. And that is really comes through in everything he does. And it's been a privilege to know him for a lot of years. And this church was better 30 years ago because he was here. And we're still better 30 years later because he was here. And so thanks for coming back. And we're looking forward to what God has to say to us through you today. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Pastor Phil. Greetings to you in the name of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what else we might say today, no matter what else we might think and do today, let's remember that is our primary confession. Jesus is Lord. What a delight to be with you in this space. Thank you so much for the privilege of returning. It is always good for us to come back because this place, as Phil was indicating for us, is just thick with memories. And in fact, it's not really only the location and the space that's so full of memories. I've been reminded this morning that that really sits in the relationships that we were privileged to share with many of you in those years. It's interesting that Pastor Phil was talking about how old this church is, you know, going to celebrate 118 years, and then he introduces me, like somehow those are connected. I don't know. But it has been quite some time ago that we were here. In fact, I asked my daughter, Jolene, who was born while we were here, to see if she couldn't find a couple photos that would remind you of what the Rowell family was like when we first showed up on the left. Well, a little bit after we showed up, because Jolene was actually born here. And then our little family when we left here in 1991. Oh my. Yeah, that's been a minute already. But what a joy it has been for us to all these years celebrate the memories of the connection that we shared together. And may I just say, relative to your election of Pastor Galen to be your next pastor in this next season of your life together, well done. We had a privilege of getting to know Galen and Justine when they were students, and we followed them along the way here and have had the privilege of being connected to them, and delighted to see what God might do. As a young pastor and a congregation kind of grow together, and I'm glad you made that decision. The reason we left here 31 years ago was because there was a congregation in Kansas City that decided to take a chance on a 30-year-old green kid. And that relationship ended up being a beautiful sign of God's grace as well. So that's what we pray for you as you walk into this next season of life together. Well, I really like this series that the pastors have opened up for us in this transition space, thinking about words of wisdom as they come to us, especially from the text of Proverbs in Scripture. And that's a good thing for us to spend some time thinking about together. Proverbs, it would be helpful for us, I think, to remember, and perhaps you've been reminded of this already along the way. Proverbs are a particular and interesting genre within the text of Scripture. Proverbs are not really promises in the way we would simply think about that. More so, they are observations, wise observations of how things tend to go, of how things tend to be when we give ourselves to certain ways of being. For example, we know very well, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Sometimes we've kind of heard that as some sort of plug and play promise. You know, you put your quarter in the vending machine over here, and what you get over here is a good follower of the Lord on the other side. Well, we all know it's not quite that simple. But what it is an observation, a wise observation, that when we give ourselves to the task of training up our children in the way they ought to go, it tends to be that they follow in the footsteps of the way that we've taught them along the way. So as we continue to open these Proverbs, probably helpful for us to keep that kind of framework in mind. Now, I'm here today because of the assignment that has been given to me is the recognition that Proverbs has a lot of good advice for us on how we use one of our greatest gifts, the gift of speech. And we all know that gift can be used in beautiful ways, and that gift can be used in hurtful and painful ways as well. Proverbs is really fire when it comes to how we use our words. I mean, just take these couple of examples. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. That's the Bible. I didn't say that, so you know. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. I want to focus in especially on Proverbs 10:19 this morning. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at three 19s. Proverbs 10:19. I want to connect that to James 1:19 and then pull in 1 Kings 19. To try and help us to hear what I think the wise person is trying to say to us in Proverbs 10:19. That's the first one. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. The way I learned it was, when words are many, sin is not absent. Or the New Living Translation has it, don't talk too much. It fosters sin. Be sensible and turn off the flow. Well, the message title that I was actually handed by your pastoral team was, Watch Your Mouth. Not bad, you know, that could work for us. The problem is, whenever I hear that phrase, I can only see my mother look like this, you know, pointing her finger, well, you, young man, you watch your mouth. So what I decided I want to try to do is take that James 1:19 passage and pull that together, turn this positive by connecting it to what James says in chapter 1, verse 19. Listen more, talk less, and control your anger. So if we need a title, the one I want to offer us is just this. Listen. Listening is in really short supply these days. Do you know that? I suspect you know that. We're living in a noisy world, which means that the meaning of words has become so diminished in our time. You and I live in a culture that is filled to the brim with noise. Wherever we go, we're just surrounded by words. Whispered, screamed, spoken, recited, sung, printed, plastered on walls, emailed, Facebooked, Twittered. Words. In fact, we've almost devolved to the point that when there isn't a constant barrage of words or noise around us, some of us just quite don't know how to handle it even. We've become so accustomed to that, even our worship sometimes can become very noisy. I'm convinced that people are languishing for a lack of truly being heard. There's a fascinating thing that happened many years ago now when somebody took out an ad in the classified ad section of the newspaper. Do you remember newspapers? Anybody remember newspapers? It was in the Kansas City Star. It was a simple little, when you could do that, put in a little ad. And the ad simply said, "I will listen to you for 15 minutes for $5," gave a phone number. In just a matter of a week or two, the person had to change the ad and up the price because that person's phone was utterly ringing off the hook. People were so starved to have connection to somebody, anybody, an anonymous somebody, who might just listen to them for a minute. A number of years ago, when I was pastoring the Shawnee congregation, I really was impacted by something I read. A line in the American poet Mary Rose O'Reilly, who wrote these words: "One can, I think, listen a person into existence." Do you hear that? Do you hear what she's saying? That there are some people probably right around us, maybe even us, who are so starved for actually being listened to, heard, understood. Sometimes these days we say it, to be seen. That whenever we have the opportunity to offer them to them the ministry of really listening well, it brings them into a sense of being somebody. That in that space of lack of listening, they languish for even their own sense of identity. So true listening, what we're trying to talk about and think about, out of the wisdom of the wise man in Proverbs, connecting it to James 1:19, is that the listening we're talking about this is a lot more than just capturing orally the waves that somebody is sending to us, but it really is about attending to what the other is trying to express to us without a motivation to just respond with clever or sharp or corrective words of our own. So often in our time, that's what seems to happen. We realize that when somebody responds to us, they were just kind of working up that response all the way along and didn't really take the time to hear what we were trying to say. And so in the second 19 that I'm bringing to us, the Apostle James gives us this simple but powerful admonition in his letter to the church when he says, "Brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." The Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, has it like this: "Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear." This is really simple advice, isn't it? Simple advice, not hard to understand, harder to practice. Has anybody ever attended a Quaker meeting? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Quakers, or Society of Friends, were a group founded by George Fox in the 17th century. George Fox was really trying to take belief and believers back to what he thought of as an original and pure form of Christianity. I'm not sure he completely pulled that off, but one of the marks of a Quaker meeting is its silence, its quiet. For when they gather, everyone simply waits in silence until someone is moved by the Spirit to offer a word or to offer something as a part of their worship. Specifically, someone will only speak if they are convinced by the Holy Spirit that they have something that should be shared. And so it would be very rare for a person to speak more than once in that kind of a gathering. So, I don't know, Pastor Phil, maybe we should try that sometime. Just come to worship and we'll just sit here and just wait and see what the Spirit, or maybe not, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. One of the things I love about the passage in James is that just a few verses earlier in James, in verse up, right up in verse 4, if you're looking at James chapter 1, we were looking at verse 19, but if you go up into chapter 4, James announces to his hearers what it is that this is really all about. It's not just, see, listening more and talking less is not simply about just being nice to one another or having good etiquette or something like that. He's giving this advice for a particular purpose. He's giving this advice to his Christian family for the purpose that, here it is, that they may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So the goal of James' instruction here is that these young Christians to whom he's writing might be able to be teleos, is the word that he uses, that they might fulfill the purpose for which God created them. This idea of telos is the idea of to achieve the end of something, to move out to its fulfillment that God has in mind for us. Part of that purpose, part of the purpose that God has in mind for us as his followers is to listen well, to be able to listen deeply to what God wants to say to us, and out of that ability, to listen carefully to one another. And of course, this instruction goes way beyond Proverbs or even James in the Bible. The Bible is full of admonition to us to quiet ourselves in the presence of God, to listen more, to talk less, which is what Proverbs 10:19 is trying to say to us. There really is, I think I'm learning and have learned, there is a spiritual wisdom about reducing our talkativeness. Not only just so that we can avoid saying foolish or harmful things, that's good by itself, but especially so that we have a chance to hear from God. Our God is a God who speaks. We would not know God if God hadn't spoken to us, as the writer to the Hebrews said, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And God does call us as part of the body of Christ to speak to one another in ways that are helpful, in ways that offer wisdom to one another, to rehearse the testimony of what it is God is doing in our lives. Those are good ways of speaking that God calls us to. But here's the thing. That speaking that we do, it needs to come from somewhere deep. It needs to come from somewhere thoughtful. And too often, it seems to me, especially these days, our speaking comes from somewhere shallow and selfish. It's focused on what we want to say. I got a point to get across. It's focused on our agenda for a particular situation, whatever it may be. And I'm saying to us, this is about finding a place of stillness in the presence of God that's so critical if we're going to be in a position to be able to accurately and clearly sense God's guiding presence in our lives. So one of the more instructive Bible stories for me right at this point is the story of Elijah. And that's what brings us to 1 Kings 19, the third 19 that I want to put before us this morning. When we come into 1 Kings 19, we find Elijah at probably the lowest point of his life, which is fascinating because it comes immediately after a high point in his life. I mean, he had just faced down the pagan prophets in a grand kind of battle of gods, and he came out of there victorious. So it was a high victory moment in one way, but then he comes off of that high moment and becomes depressed and sullen. He just wants to quit. He wants to die. He runs away into the desert. He wants to quit the ministry altogether. He needed a fresh word from the Lord. And so that's what brings us into this part of 1 Kings 19 that I want to share with us. We pick up the reading at verse 9. Just listen to this exchange that goes on between Elijah and God. You may be familiar with this part of the story. But the Lord said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "Well, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but these people of Israel, they have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." So the Lord says, "Okay, Elijah, go out and stand before me on the mountain." So Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Some translate that the sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak. He went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And then the conversation starts over. The Lord says to Elijah, "What are you doing out here, Elijah?" And Elijah goes back into his feeling, his problem. But out of that moment of silence, the Lord gives him a fresh sense of what his mission in his life. And he moves from there into the next chapter of ministry. The reason I want to bring this text before us is to help. I think many of you have been around church. You may have heard this text in many different settings, and sometimes we say, we even have songs about this. Not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the gentle whisper, that's where we hear the Lord. Actually, the text doesn't say that. The text actually doesn't say that God was in the whisper, but that in that place of utter stillness and quietness, that's the place from which Elijah finally was able to hear the voice of God that had been there the whole way. He just wasn't hearing it because he'd become so overrun and consumed with all the noise of his own life and all the noise of the culture around him, and even the ways in which he had always imagined that God might speak. In powerful, majestic, get your attention kinds of ways. Does God do that sometimes? Of course, there are illustrations throughout Scripture where God does it that way. But so often it's in this place of stillness and quietness. Shh. Listen. This is a place of quiet that he finally embraces. It's not only about reducing the noise around us that we're being called to here. No, that's not a bad thing. It wouldn't hurt some of us just to reduce the noise around us, quite literally, turn some of it off and whatever. But this, even more than that, even more than just sort of managing our environment, this is about reducing the noise within us. Our anxiety, ambition, anger, anything that can begin to obscure the sense of the nearness of God. Friends, it's a noisy world. And it seems like it's just gotten noisier in just these last few years that we've been experiencing together. Sometimes, can I just say, it's a noisy church. We too often lead noisy lives, both externally and internally. And so the wisdom of the Scriptures, and indeed the wisdom of the saints, would teach us that there is a deep knowledge of God that can only come to us in the stillness. That's what happened to Elijah. God fills the stillness with his presence. And I think it's a lot of what James has in mind as he counsels us, that if we would listen more and talk less, we would move then toward his stated goal for us, that we might become mature and complete, not lacking in anything. The truth is, the word of God to us today out of Proverbs is really simple. This is not hard to get a hold of. This is not a difficult lesson. But it comes to us, I think, at a critical moment when we find ourselves, at least I do, maybe you do, we find ourselves trying to navigate now this contemporary culture of suspicion and anxiety and anger. And my deep concern for us as the people of God is way too often these days we seem to be reflecting more the anxious and angry world than we are reflecting the peaceable kingdom of Christ Jesus. When communication becomes disembodied, I probably need to quit, Pastor Phil, but I'm going to meddle for just a second. When communication becomes disembodied, as it has for us so often in terms of what we interestingly label social media, it makes a disabling shift from authentic dialogue to simply filling the space with our opinions. The listen more and talk less wisdom of these three 19s that we're looking at today has been proven to me to be wise words of wisdom. It's been proven to me over and over again across these 40 years of ministry in the life of the church. And I think I've come today just wanting to say to you, as you anticipate a new chapter in the life of Chicago First Church, that as you begin your new pastor-people relationship, I think today's word of wisdom could serve you really well. It's such a blessing that you already know Pastor Galen. That's a great advantage. But you know what? The truth is that sooner or later, that relationship will be tested. What happens then? It'll happen. What then? The temptation that I have experienced and that I have observed is that when conflict comes into the life of the church, and I had, 12 years as a district superintendent watching this in a whole variety of churches, the temptation is to begin making lots of noise. That's what the church generally seems to be doing these days. Our response to the disequilibrium we're feeling in the world, we're responding to that by just wanting to make a lot of noise. And whoever can win the noise battle, or whatever. But to counter that as the people of God with a whole different posture, listen. Do you know about fasting in the spiritual life? Fasting is a spiritual discipline that's been long valued by God's people. Fasting releases strongholds in the spiritual realm. There is a stronghold in the church today of careless speech. It's doing harm. And I'm just suggesting to us that maybe a part of what God might be calling us toward in order to become healthier as the body of Christ, to become a more faithful expression and representation of what it is God actually means to do in the world by the redeeming, healing grace of God in Christ Jesus, might have a lot to do with changing our speech, of fasting from the noise of this world and of repentance from our many words and much noise. Before refrigerators, which I know nothing about because, you know, I'm not that old. But there could be one or two in this room who might remember this. Before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. And the way I understand that this would happen is that an ice house would, you know, be a shack with thick walls and no windows, a tightly fitted door. And in the wintertime, when the ponds and streams and all were frozen solid, large blocks of ice were cut out, hauled to the ice houses, covered up with straw and sawdust, and often that ice would last well into the summer in order to help preserve the food. Well, the story goes that one man had lost a valuable watch that he had while he was working in the ice house, and he searched diligently for it. He wanted so desperately to find it. He called the other workers that were with him to try, and they scrambled through that straw and sawdust, trying desperately to find that watch, but to no avail. They just couldn't find it. Finally, they gave up and went on their way to get something to eat for lunch. And while they were away, a little boy slipped in the ice house and in a matter of just minutes emerged with the watch. And of course, they wanted to know, how in the world did you find that when we tried everything and couldn't find it? He said, well, it was really very simple. I went into the ice house, closed the door, lay down in the sawdust, and became very still. And in just a moment, I heard it ticking. God is speaking. Are we giving to Him a life, each of us personally, in our households, in our church? Are we giving Him a life in which there's enough space, silence, quiet, stillness of heart that we'll be able to hear Him speak? It could be that for some of us, what the Lord might call us toward on the way there is a surrender of some of the things that have become so important to us that we're packing our lives full of, and our lives have become, as Henry Nouwen once said, like overpacked suitcases. We've just tried to jam so much in there and so much activity, and there's just no place of quiet and stillness. What might the Lord call us, call me, to surrender so that I can find a place that will enable me to listen more, talk less, and put away anger? Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word to us today. We pray, Lord, that You would grant us grace even in this very moment to confess what it is You might be calling us to do in response to what we've heard. Is there a way of life that has become so familiar to us, Lord, that You would call us to maybe think twice about, even to turn from? Is there deeply within us, Lord, is there deeply within me such a need to be heard that I really don't listen to others or even to You? Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen.
And thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.